about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And you don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
We see with our brains. All our eyes do is collect light. I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroe.
And this
is Two Guys on Your Head.
Today, why we see things that aren't really there.
An exercise that I do when I'm teaching seminars on thinking is, utterly unexpectedly, I just throw up a picture of a chicken on the screen. And I say, and beforehand, I say, look, I'm about to ask you the most important question of the day. What is this? And then I put this up on the screen. And within a second, everyone in the room goes, a chicken. And then I say, look, I want you all to reflect on how absolutely amazing this is. You didn't expect me to talk about chickens. Yet I flash this thing up on a screen and immediately everybody knows what it is. Doing that requires much more than just taking in the light that's bouncing off the screen. There's a tremendous amount of prior knowledge that you bring to bear on this immediately.
We underestimate how much of our thinking is interpreting things that we see. I mean, we tend to think our ears, our eyes, our sense of smell, all of those things are just reporting what's in the world. And actually, we're interpreting everything that we see. So if we have expectations about what's likely to happen, I mean, the reason for our brain is to predict what's about to happen. Right? That's the way we survive. That's the reason brains keep us alive, is because they make reasonable predictions about what's about to happen so we can navigate the world. So, of course, to make predictions, you have to have a history, right? And the history now teaches that in this circumstance, certain things are more likely to come about than certain other things. So all of those predictions, all that history is leading to expectations. And because we have all kinds of things too, like confirmation bias, right? We tend to think something is true and we will generally notice the things that comport with our expectations. And these things have come to light in the popular press recently because of things about when police are confronted with what are dangerous situations. Their interpretations of those situations are based not only on the actual facts of the situation, but what their expectations are.
So, you know, and to put as fine a point on this as possible, you might think, well, the goal of vision is to be as accurate as possible about what's in the world. But in fact, what the brain is doing is making a tremendous cost-benefit analysis. And then the decisions that we make about what we see are influenced by the results of that cost-benefit analysis.
Yeah.
And accuracy is only one thing that factors into that cost-benefit analysis. So here I am in a potentially dangerous situation. It's unfolding very quickly. I may literally have a half a second to make a decision about what I see. Now, what are the costs and benefits? Well, the cost of making a mistake, if I'm looking at someone who I think might have a gun, the cost of making a mistake in saying that the person doesn't have a gun when they really do is potentially much higher for me than the cost of saying that they have a gun when they really don't.
We tend to think that at any given moment, we're responding to the environment that we're in. But it's more accurate to say we're responding to the environment we're in relation to what's in our memories. Because really, again, all of the history that I have is now aiding, it's intended to aid, my interpretation of the circumstances I find myself in. So if I have certain expectations about who's a threatening person or who presents no danger to me at all, well, then those expectations are going to influence how I interpret the visual signals or the auditory signals or any other signals that are coming into my sense receptors.
Now, unfortunately, some of the factors that create these expectations involve things like stereotypes that reinforce beliefs that may not have a factual basis themselves. So one of the findings in research like this is that if you have an African-American male holding an object in his hand, then people who are trying to make a decision about whether to shoot or not are more likely to make the decision to shoot than having a white male carrying something where you're not sure what it is because of this cost-benefit analysis. Now, that's based on a stereotype about who is likely to commit crimes that really may have no basis in the actual statistics about criminal behavior. There are two reasons why this is a problem. One, of course, because if you're actually in a situation in which you have to make the decision about whether to shoot or not, and these stereotypes are influencing behavior, then you can have a potential calamity. But the other thing is that because we see a little bit of what we expect to see, we can also create situations in which our perceptions reinforce a set of beliefs that had no evidence before. Mm-hmm. Because you now look at a situation in which you are interpreting what's happening on the basis of a stereotype that didn't have any evidence for it before. And now you think, well, that's what I saw. Right. See, I told you that that belief was the right one to have.
Right. When we're given opportunities to reflect and analyze and reconsider what's already taken place, we can reveal to ourselves or to other people how our expectations have actually mistakenly or led to a mistaken decision if we actually take the time to reflect and do that. I mean, without that, it's very easy to perpetuate these kinds of these ways of thinking in ways that are nearly impervious to change, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a couple of core lessons about perception that are playing out here. One, because perception is happening so fast, we are drawing conclusions on the basis of only partial evidence, reinforced by our prior beliefs. And then the second piece is that because accuracy is actually not the primary driver of behavior, it's really accuracy in the context of the costs and benefits to action, that we have to realize that we are not just trying to be accurate all the time, and that the goal of perception is to keep us alive and not to be right.
Next week on the show, we'll talk about communicating science with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. Support for Two Guys on Your Head comes in part from the Center for Music Therapy, providing brain training for movement disorders.